You know, we talked about last Wednesday, Wednesday before, sometime or another, about the revelation of the Bible and that it is progressive. That is, God started small and slowly began to reveal himself. And I want you to think about something. When you come to the New Testament and you read about Jesus and you read about all they were doing, there was no New Testament. You need to realize that when Jesus was walking this earth, there was no New Testament. It had not been written. And much of the New Testament had not been written when Paul the Apostle traveled, though he wrote most of the New Testament. And so God progressively started small and begun to reveal himself. One thing about God, you know, when you look at the book of Genesis, God doesn't just say, okay, here's everything you need to know about prayer. Then the book of Exodus, here's everything you need to know about this, and here's everything you need to know about this. It is a progressive historical revelation of God. And what I want to look at tonight is just some things, one thing that is a hint that we know, and that is this. We know that there is one God, but that one God exists in three persons, what we call the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are one God in their essence and their nature, but they exist in three distinct persons. And in the Old Testament, the Jews would not have understood that. The Old Testament word for Lord is Jehovah. And so the New Testament understood Jehovah God. And that's the one that God emphasized to them. He did not really unfold the Trinity. He did not unfold himself in that way. He just revealed himself as God, Jehovah, and all the names of God. But he did hint at it. So if anybody doesn't want to find it, that means they have to deliberately not look for it. So I want you to look, first of all, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And notice how it says it. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Notice it says, let us. There's a hint. There's a hint that God is three persons but one God, but he does not unfold it. He just hints at it. Look on over, if you will, to chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Notice he says it again. Let the man become as one of us. Yet the Old Testament thinks of God as the Lord. The word Lord is Jehovah and God, which is Elohim. And it sort of veils it, but there are hints of it. Turn on over to Genesis 11, Genesis chapter 11, Genesis 11, and verse 6, or let's go back to verse 5. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. There it is again, the hint. Us is plural, not one. So God is hinting at and revealing the three persons of the Trinity, but not in actuality, though the Old Testament Jews understood him as God. And where they got it from, turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Chapter 6, verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Then he goes on to say, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. He said to Israel, the Lord God is one. And Israel understood that to mean he is the one God. In the Hebrew, it really means the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. There is no one else. Turn over to Deuteronomy 4. Turn back to Deuteronomy 4, and you'll see some of the things he said. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 35. Unto thee it was shown that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. There is none else beside him. And verse 39 says, know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God, in heaven above and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. Now I go back to Deuteronomy 6. The idea is when it says the Lord is one, is there is none other. There is none other. There are not three gods. There's only one God. The Lord is the one God. There are no others. There are no other idols. He's the only one. So how can he be a Trinity? Well, what's interesting is the Lord our God, if you notice in verse 4, Lord is Jehovah our God is Elohim, which is in the plural, meaning more than one. The word one, the Lord our God, is one Lord, is the same word used in Genesis 2. And it refers to one in unity. Now go back to Genesis 2. I want you to see in Genesis 2 where he uses the same word. In Genesis 2, Genesis 2 and verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That is the same word. And so the Old Testament reveals that God is one, but even within the word one, it is hinting at the Trinity, the three persons of the Godhead. Jehovah Witnesses today would deny that because they would only say we are witnesses of Jehovah, the Lord, and they're wrong. They're wrong. But the Old Testament, though it did not fully display it, it is in a small kernel. It is having the idea that even though God is one, he does exist in three persons. He is one God, just as a husband and wife become one flesh. They are one, but they are two persons. That's very important. Very important. Because God didn't tell everything that needed to be known about himself. God is communicating on a small plane as he reveals himself to Israel. And Israel knew him as Jehovah God, the one God. And then Jesus Christ comes. So turn, if you will, to John chapter 10, the New Testament. John chapter 10. Book of John chapter 10. And we'll begin in verse 24. John chapter 10, verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. You need to understand they kept asking that all the time. Well, if you're the Christ, well, then show us. Well, he only did hundreds of miracles and he only did all this stuff. And he said, well, you still can't tell if you're the Christ or not, because they rejected him. And then verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. Now, you got to understand that in the Old Testament, God is revealing himself, and he just hints at the fullness of who he is by the different names. But it is in there. Then when Jesus Christ comes, the Jews have a problem. Okay, now, wait a minute. Who is this fella? He's the promised Messiah. Okay. But they have a problem with him when he says this, I and the Father are one. Whoa, what do you mean? And they understood what that means, because notice what they said in verse 34. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." They understood what Jesus was saying. They understood what Jesus was saying about himself. They understood when Jesus says, "I and the Father are one," whoa. We don't like that. Well, why don't you like that? Jesus says, "Well, I mean, if you're going to stone me, which of the good works have I done you're going to stone me for?" That's not what we're going to stone you for. We're going to stone you for blasphemy because you claim to be God. And we will not accept that. We will not accept that. You see, the Bible hints at the fullness of God in his Trinity by saying, let us. The Lord our God is one God, meaning he's one, but there is a unity. There is God, which is in plural. Now, Jesus comes on the scene. You have to understand something. This is why Jesus is so controversial. Because Jesus did not claim just to be a good man. Jesus did not claim to just be, "I'm a good man." To the modern world, Jesus is just another religion. You know, Jesus is like Muhammad. Jesus is like someone else. But Jesus didn't claim to be somebody else. Jesus claimed to say, "I am the Father of one," and they understood, wait a minute, you're claiming to be God Almighty. Because the Old Testament hinted at him, but when the New Testament comes, then Jesus Christ comes in human flesh to reveal himself. Turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4, "As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one." Okay, there's none other God but one. "For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there be many gods and lords many. But to us there is but one God the Father, our whom over all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him." Now, Paul very clearly states that there is one God the Father from which we all come, and there's one Lord Jesus Christ, and the Greek is constructed, meaning they are one in their essence as Almighty God, though they exist as two distinct persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't quite understand the fullness of the Trinity, but I'm going to tell you, I believe it. I absolutely believe it. And what I want to show you, to me, is just thrilling that God doesn't tell everything when he starts out. He hints at it, you know. I mean, from the very first chapter, God comes and reveals himself as Jehovah and as Elohim, the great and mighty God, but he hints by saying, "Let us." He just hints at, there's more to me than what you know. Then in Deuteronomy, he says the Lord is one. Yes, there's one God. There's no other. But in there, he is hinting at who he is. And it is not until we come to the fullness of the New Testament revelation that Jesus Christ finally begins to unfold the Trinity and who the person of God is. Jesus Christ is God, has been God, always will be God, though it was veiled and hidden in the New Testament. And today, Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe that. Mormons do not believe that. You say, "Well, they're just such nice people." Well, that's good. That's good people are nice people. Might be wonderful people. But you cannot deny one of the most basic doctrines of Scripture, and that's who Jesus is. Because Jesus is who he is, and you can't change that. He is who he is. He is God. I and the Father are one. And it just marvels to know that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit look down through the corridors of time and plan to save us all. And God the Father planned to be the one, the preeminent one. God the Son was the one who would wrap himself in human flesh and take our place and be punished for us, then ascend back to heaven. And God the Holy Spirit would be the one who would come and indwell us and live in us and empower us and mold us to make us like the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And though they are one God in who they are, they exist in three persons. And what always just still blows my mind is they've always been. They've always been. And I don't know about you, but they need a little respect, you know. Maybe a little honor, a little glory. We honor who they are, and we honor the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our life. He is all that we need.